Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by Rich Stamboli. He is just a voice in the ether right now.
How you doing, Rich? I'm good. I'm a little bit of a mess today. My video seems to be working quite well right now.
Oh, look at that. There we go.
I'm a little blurry, but we'll fix it. It's okay. I'm moving really fast.
How do you feel? Before we get our great guest in, how do you feel today?
Not too great. I went to Comic-Con over the weekend, and I got a fistful of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, I very much expected from going to Comic-Con.
Yeah, dude.
Let's bring our guest in, dude. This is awesome. Second time on the show. Obviously, the last time it was a total blast when we had him on. Here to talk about everything going on in the NWA. Mr. Billy Corgan. Billy, what's going on?
Good morning, good afternoon, whenever you're putting this one on. Thank you.
There is no other Billy Corgan in the world.
No, there actually is, believe it or not. If you Google, like one of those database searches, not Google search, there's a ton of Billy Corgans in America. It's sort of shocking. I've never met any of them other than my father. Yeah,
I would imagine it. You know, they never came to the shows. they never came to the shows. Like, hey, Billy, I'm also Billy.
No, and I'm still waiting for some of my father's illegitimate children to show up. That hasn't happened yet either. So we're working on it.
You have a big show coming up. This is a very unique show that you guys are putting on here in Cleveland, Ohio, October 28th. I know Rich is excited for this.
Oh, yeah.
Great card. Fantastic talent. You know, before we go into this card, which I want to take some time, but I wanted to talk to you about, you know, just since the last time you were on, you know, less than a year ago, a lot of changing in pro wrestling, obviously. And, you know, a lot of people are up for TV rights. A lot of the landscape is changing. Networks are consolidating. We saw Showtime Boxing, not that it's pro wrestling, but it's still in the fight sport game, you know, kind of exiting. How do you see 2024 falling out as far as, you know, just the industry as a whole?
Gosh, that's a big question to tackle. Money, as always in entertainment, is an issue. And I think coming off the writer's strike, even money's even a bigger issue than it normally is. Anybody living in America understands the economy is really funky. So on one hand, you have people who spend their money for entertainment. You know, they're probably making more prudent choices. And then, of course, we see the news on the other side of the equation where Disney's losing money on their streaming service, hand over fist. You know, they're obviously in the content game. They're not going anywhere, but there's a lot of shifting tides, how people watch, of course, broadcast television. Wrestling still has a very important place on broadcast television as we've seen from some of the recent WWE rights. So it's kind of hard to say simply, but in a weird way, broadcast television is now looking again to wrestling to kind of keep their market share. But obviously, you know, on the internet side, the digital side, wrestling is growing stronger every year. As I complained recently, I mean, YouTube's a terrible partner for wrestling. I really wish there was that one stop shop for if you're a fan who likes wrestling off the internet, or you like to be able to watch something on your phone and you're not necessarily looking for WWE or AEW content. I wish there was that one stop shop where there was a trusted network. That was big enough to handle the bandwidth of everybody out there and, you know, basically trying to do what we're doing on YouTube with somebody who's actually invested in professional wrestling, because YouTube is definitely not invested in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I remember that Twitch was making an attempt about about 6-7 years ago. Twitch wanted to kind of get into the wrestling space of being a place where you stream it. There was Flow Slam also. Why do you think it never became a thing? What is it? Just the sheer effort that's needed and the financials that's needed to get it going?
That's a fantastic question. I think it's as simple as this. Wrestling is cheap television in the aggregate, but in the digital space, it's still expensive. If people knew what we spent on an episode of Power versus giving it away for free on YouTube, you're kind of like, does that make sense? So I think that's why the Twitches of the world have leaned in towards really cheap to make content, people streaming, video game playing and stuff like that. Because I know at one point Twitch had a deal with Impact, And of course, I do know what they were paying Impact, and it was decent. And I'm not at liberty to say, because I don't feel that's fair to talk about somebody else's business, but they were paying real money, is my point. And so if they got out, that means they weren't getting that return. And I don't mean that as a diss on Impact. I'm saying is, I just think what it costs to put wrestling on a digital platform exclusively or under certain scenarios, I think is probably too high a price point for them.
Yeah, when you restructured the NWA, when you became the president of it and you bought it, it was a really unique time, because there were a lot of independent promotions streaming at that point, and there was a lot of, you know, pseudo deals happening where people got some presentation on TV. For you guys, that has been, you know, the pandemic obviously slows things down for everybody, but now that we're out of this, we're seeing news and rumors, and obviously whatever you're comfortable with to discuss, please go right ahead. But we're now seeing that there's possible interest on network television for the NWA. Can you go into this at all?
I can't talk about the partner yet, but I am at liberty to talk about that we have signed a deal with the Top 20 Network for two shows. And so that's all I can say right now. Of course, I saw the reports that are out there. You know, far be it for me to say whether an internet dirt sheet source is accurate or not. There was yesterday even a quote that allegedly came out of my mouth that wasn't at all what I said. And literally one word was wrong, and it made it sound like a completely different thing that I was saying than I said. So I deal with this every day. But the good news on all that is, whether you see with OVW, with they're doing their Netflix show, there's a lot more openness on the digital and the broadcast space to professional wrestling. So if you're a fan, that's good news. And I think, you know, all credit to Tony Khan, because for many years, and I heard this from people who are network executives, there was a belief in the industry at wide that unless you were WWE, you couldn't succeed at the highest levels. So Tony has now proven that wrong. And the minute that he does that, of course, then it opens up the business to everyone else who has a good story to tell, as far as, hey, we think we can belong in this space and we think we can endure. So because I had a sense of that going back 5 years, a lot of the moves that I've made in professional wrestling didn't make sense to people who operate on the day-to-day level in the wrestling bubble, because it was very focused on, you're either WWE or AEW, or you're over here running a show that the marks love, and never the twain shall meet, to use the old poetic phrase. I've been trying to run up the middle between those two spheres of influence, because I really felt that was the best place for the NWA to be. And now I think you're seeing that philosophy come to fruition. I am obviously of the opinion that it's going to work for us. And I'm not saying it's going to be a stroll in the park. We have a lot of work to do. But I think, you know, those gains are really important to people who actually make decisions, not people who make decisions behind a keyboard with their opinion, but people actually write checks.
Yeah, there's absolutely a ton that goes on behind the scenes. And getting a TV, you know, obviously we won't go into who the partner is, or I'm not going to speculate on it. I think we've seen the rumors. But how does that change, not so much the trajectory, but the overall planning now for the NWA? You know, you guys have a really cool concept coming up for this pay-per-view. It's going to be the most violent pay-per-view in NWA history, in the 75-year history. You know, do you now pivot a little bit because you do have this network partner that's potentially happening? Do you change anything with the overall presentation and just the concept of what the NWA is today?
Well, if people have been following the product, we have really upped our production lately. I came in with an old school studio model on purpose because I thought the money was better spent on building the right roster and the right culture behind the scenes. Of course, we were criticized for that, and I think that was a fair criticism. And we weren't trying to blow money in that direction. Now we're trying to start to blow money in that direction because, of course, if we're going to be on bigger platforms as a company, and that's overall, we want to present a product that the mainstream public recognizes as that other level of production quality. It was always laughable to me when people would criticize the production level of the NWA, not because the criticism wasn't valid, but it was because obviously I've been in a rock band for over 30 years. I've spent a lot of money in production. I'm fully aware of what the lights cost and all that type of thing. So now we're sort of putting money in that direction. And I think power is sort of in the, let's call it the middle phase of where we're going to land on our look and what we're trying to accomplish as a product. And I hope, you know, there's lots of innovation to come, some of which I tried to push forward when I was at TNA. And I think some people have some sense of that. So hopefully that's all in the future. The other side of your question, I think you see where we're starting to really invest in a ground game. And the first part of that was getting with EC3 on forming an alliance, bringing back the NWA territorial system with EC3's Exodus Pro out of Cleveland. And there's other promotions to come. And the minute we made that announcement, we were shocked at the positive response. And now promotions of all over the world are writing us wanting to be part of the NWA's new territorial system. So I think you see somewhere in there and trying to push us up into the higher level of production and reach. And then at the other hand, trying to build that ground game so that we can find the stars of tomorrow early on, so we can get them in our system and make sure that they're ready. It might, you know, might take 6 months, might take a year, might take 2 years, but they'll be ready for a mainstream viewing. You know, the NWA, you know, much to the some of the smart marks, not all, consternation is voiced for a mainstream public. I think that professional wrestling does very, very well when it appeals to everybody. And you know, when you get down to like sort of the Dave Meltzer version of it, somehow that turns into a critique of wrestling in a certain way. And it's the complete opposite. I love professional wrestling of every stripe. I voiced the NWA to be a mainstream product because that's our best chance for success. I figured out early on that we weren't going to be that type of promotion that was going to appeal to that type of fan base. And that's certainly okay, but it's not a diss against those types of promotions. I'm happy to work with those promotions. And we have worked with a lot of those promotions as wrestlers. So I don't understand where that kind of goes off into some other tangent.
Now, so there's, in my opinion, there's always a lot of room for professional wrestling, you know, for live shows or dramatized events. Like, for example, the Iron Claw movie's coming out. You have a show like Heels on Showtime. You have the OVW documentary on Netflix. That being said, is this your biggest show since you have the unnamed deal in place, like the October 28th show, like going forward?
I think that's valid in the sense that I think we're going to have more eyes on us than normal. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying it for years. It's a bit of a catchphrase, but I've been saying, don't sleep on the NWA. There's a crowd that came early because they like certain people on the roster and they like some of what we were doing, but that wasn't where I wanted the NWA to be or go. And again, that's not against those talents. And it's not saying I'm not proud of what we did, but it'd be like saying my first album was my third album. You know, I'm obviously talking about my own life here, but you know, when a band becomes successful, they have to sort of pivot and find a way to reach a greater crowd and a greater voice. And so that's what I'm after with the NWA. So I think for people that will come in and watch Sawin on October 28th on Fight, I think they'll be surprised at the level of wrestling quality. Because if they watched 2 or 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I think they made a determination, oh, it's this type of promotion and it's this type of wrestling. And it's not a very accurate reflection of where we are today. And if you look at the card, you look at who's wrestling for us regularly, you look at how the title successions have run and the credibility around the titles now, we're constantly getting calls from indie promotions wanting our champions to come in and help build their houses because the NWA titles are over. I think that's a credit to the team effort that everybody's put in.
Does that feel good, owning the NWA and then kind of almost doing like that territory stuff like from back in the day?
I love professional wrestling. And, you know, I love alternative rock music too, but I also love classical music. You know what I mean? It's like I'm trying to find the things that both work for the NWA, work for the roster we have, while I'm also trying to figure out other things that we can do. So as I said before, the announcement of doing Exodus Pro with EC3 out of Cleveland, the level of reaction organically off the ground was so overwhelming that we were like, wow, this is a cool thing we were doing, but now maybe there's more here than we would have thought. So yes, that feels like like some validation of like, wow, a lot more people want to be in business with the NWA than like, let's say the normal dirt sheet headline would indicate. there's something going on organically is the point I'm trying to make. And I think you're pointing at that too. It feels good. Like, and to your point, what is wrong with more professional wrestling? That means more of the boys are working. That means more stuff to talk about. That means more content for shows like yours. It's like, how is that a bad thing? We all love wrestling. This idea that there's got to be winners and then losers, why can't it be winners and maybe not winning today? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because there have been times where we've done stuff with the NWA where we absolutely won the day of the week as far as what people were talking about and as far as what we pulled off as a wrestling company, which given the amount of money that we spend versus some of our competitors is quite the accomplishment. We understand the wrestling ecosystem. We understand how it orients right now around the two top companies because there's a lot of money there. There's network television deals, and they have the marketing and reach to create that fan chatter that's necessary for everybody to run. But if you really love wrestling, you want companies like GCW and Exodus Pro and the NWA and Impact and, you know, everybody else at the table. You want everybody doing well. It's not a bad thing for everybody, including the talent.
You know, you brought up something interesting about the criticism that you're a studio-based show. And I always took that as the charm. Obviously, you know, you have pay-per-views and you have larger crowds and you can move it into a larger studio. But I've always thought that added an element that, you know, you don't really see too often anymore. But it was a very unique look. I mean, I'm watching right now. I just pulled it up while we're talking. I have NWA Power from, episode 132. It looks unbelievable. It looks great. And this could be my bias, right? I love wrestling. I love old school wrestling. I like the new stuff too. I'm a fan of wrestling. I'm looking at this and I see the uniqueness that sells it to me. Why do you think, is it just that people aren't used to seeing a studio, stage studio based wrestling show in 2023, 2024? Is that the criticism or they want more?
WWE set the standard of, 15,000 people in a hot arena with the Titantron. I mean, when wrestling is well produced, I mean, I was at the WrestleMania a few years ago at MetLife Stadium. Gosh, it must have been 6 years ago or something. That level of production just blew my mind.
Yeah.
The amount of money WWE must have spent on that event it blew my mind. I'm talking as a rock star. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So, if I had taken the same amount of money that I spend per year on the NWA, and I just said, let's say I'm going to do 6 pay-per-views a year, I'm going to blow that same amount of money. And for 6 times a year, the NWA will be the talk of wrestling because we will run a class A produced great card. You could argue, and I think it's a fair argument, that we would have gained more ground, with, let's call it, the wrestling crowd, because we would have sort of shown bigger crowds, bigger cards. But when I'm talking to people at Netflix or Paramount or Peacock, it's the ability to produce weekly television that is impressive to them. Anybody can pull off, not anybody, but most people, if they blow money, can pull off something that looks good. There's a lot of MMA stuff that looks fantastic. And there's, 1,000 people in the building and the lights and everything. But I can't say anybody particularly cares at that other level. We are trying to get to that other level. So this is a ground game strategy. And for the sophisticated people in your audience, which you have, because, that's the type of crowd that you draw, I think they can appreciate that, like, look, you're not trying to run before you can walk. And the NWA, when I bought it, literally, was just about nobody. There was no talk. It was mocked as a decision on my part to go in instead of just starting Billy Corgan Wrestling or whatever. And now here we are, where we have 2 TV deals in hand. We're running incredible events. We're producing weekly television. I think we're about 100 hours of content a year. That's the kind of conversations that you need to have with those executives for them to think, okay, this guy's serious.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the TV landscape, there's nobody producing 52 weeks of live content like pro wrestling could produce it. And you're absolutely right. That is the key here. And it's, inexpensive. I'm using hand quotes here. Versus creating, a 52-week drama for television. It's an impossible task, but you get to do it with professional wrestling. As far as character development and the presentation of characters, how do you, what do you look for for an NWA wrestler? Is it just a little of everything, or do you have something that you kind of clicks for you when you see a talent in the ring and you say, you know, that person would be great for us?
Well, if you're being simple about it, the two optimal things in NWA are size and toughness. If you have both, you're probably going to do very well in the NWA. And if you look at who's on the roster, I remember one time Matt Taven came in to do something great, professional wrestler, love working with Matt Taven. Matt Taven, you know, he's 6'2", about my size. Matt looked around and said, oh my God, you guys are huge. Like, what is going on here? You know, because he's used to working in companies that he's probably on the bigger end of the spectrum. We want to present, you know, the circus here. We want the top of physical specimens in the game that are available. And I think you see particularly on the women's side of the division, you know, the toughness is really going a long way to why the NWA is really getting talked about now. Beyond that, I try to look for people, and I think this is a fair thing to say against myself. I think I was overlooked a lot when I was a talent wanting to get a record deal. I was rejected, I think, at least twice by every major label in the late 80s, going into the early 90s. So I came in with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. And a lot of the talents I work with have that little bit of chip on the shoulder because somebody has told them along the way, you're not big enough, you're not smart enough, you're not cool enough, you're not pretty enough, you're too fat, you're too skinny. You know, they have a little bit of that. And I think there's a little bit of that swagger that the NWA has, where a lot of people on our roster, whether it's a Trevor Murdoch or an Natalia Markova or a Camille, heck, even a Chris Masters, they're trying to kind of prove something to the industry at wide that they are a top tier talent. And to those who have overlooked them, there's a little bit of a kind of a, you know, let me show you why you were wrong.
Now, taking that into account, you have this show coming up on October 28th. This is a stacked card. If you were to say to somebody, hey, besides the whole show, watch these couple of matches and you'll get the perfect idea of what NWA is all about, like, what would you say?
Right now, for somebody just coming in who hasn't been watching or hasn't watched at all, I think I look at Southern Six, which, you know, is a faction with Thrillbilly, but he's the national champ. So he has a match against a Chris Adonis, Masters. And then the other two guys in the faction who are Kerry Morton, son of Ricky, and Alex Taylor, who's a fantastic cruiserweight, kind of in the mold of a Tony Blanchard. They're facing the Headbangers. You know, that's the type of thing where it's like, it's that little bit of that ECW vibe, right? It's like, you got a hot faction and then you got the legendary team coming in from the outside, and they're going to get it on. You know, that's like, you know, if that's old school wrestling, well, I'm a fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be ballet and it doesn't have to be rocket science. It's like, you want to watch some really good professional tag team wrestling. You know, if you don't think Ricky Morton doesn't know tag team wrestling, you know, Kerry's right. Been trained in that thing. And if you think the Headbangers come in, don't know how to work a tag team match, well, that's what we're trying to do. Now, is it the five-star thing that some people go crazy for? I'm going to take a guess. It's probably not going to be. It might be, but that's not exactly what we're really after. We're interested in telling a good story. And so if you're a fan of that and you know you want to watch high quality professional wrestling with a bit of a story and some character and some good fun, okay, but that's what we do. What else would I look at? I think I think this is a fun one. We got the world title match, which is a BFT, Blunt Force Trauma, managed by Aaron Stevens, who's now fully a manager. And of course, you know, of course, everybody knows him as Sandow. He's fantastic as a manager. I mean, he's basically a new generation Bobby Heenan. The minute he got that thing over, I signed him up to a long contract because I was like, I don't want somebody stealing you away. This is too good. So he's managing BFT, who are pretty rough and tumble in that old school classic style. And they're up against Knox and Murdoch, you know, about what, 650, 700 pounds of men. You know, both of them over 6'5", 6'6". You know, and by the way, what's the stip on the match for Sawin? Knights of the Round Table table match. You must go through a round table to win this match. And let's just say that this match might steal the show. So that's kind of like, that's kind of sort of voices what the NWA is after. Now, the main event, Tom Latimer, you know, incredible professional wrestler, you know, he's been very open and honest about his troubles in life, has really gotten his life together since he's married his wife, Camille, who'll be in his corner for the match. If you remember, she was the insurance policy for Nick Aldis when he was the champion before he became a wrestler for the NWA. She's gone back to the role for this match to protect her husband's interests. And she's up against EC3 in his hometown with the, you know, the 10 pounds of gold on his shoulder. If you don't like what I just said, then the NWA is probably not for you. Yeah. And I don't mean that as like a poke in the chest, right? I'm saying is that's what we do. We're tough, we're physical, we tell good stories. And of course we have those moments where, you know, you might say, well, that was a 4 or 5 or 7 star match, but that's not really the business that we're in. We're in the business of being a professional wrestling company that can operate at the highest levels and do network deals. So if that's not for you, or that's not something that interests you, we respect and appreciate that, but we are very open about that's what we're after.
You know, when I had asked, this roster stack, and I love the, you know, and again, this is a great representation of professional wrestling. You have a top tier main event. You have ICP on a card. You have Vampiro. There's so much for everybody, right? And that's the key with pro wrestling. I like the just, wow, I never thought I would want to see these two in a match, but now I do. The overall presentation of it, I like that. I like the unknown when it comes to wrestling. But something, you know, now with a possible network deal, top 20 network station, would you be open to, and listen, I gotta ask it because people are gonna tell me, how could you not ask Billy about this? You know, you're a Chicago guy, there's another Chicago guy that may be available. How would that impact you if you had, you know, an interest in CM Punk, or would you be interested in having him in the NWA? How would that change things?
You know, we must be doing well, because when the dirt sheets start writing the headline, the NWA, now that they have a network deal, sign CM Punk, we must be doing something right. So I love and respect the question, because it feels good to even be asked the question. Let's start here real quick on Punk. I first met Punk, I think, when he was 19 years old, wrestling at the Nashville Fairgrounds for TNA. I can't say we're tight, but we've always gotten along very well. And we have a lot of mutual friends. And there's always been a warmth there between us, particularly as fellow Chicagoans. Unlike a lot of people in professional wrestling, and maybe because I know the person a little bit, I feel I understand the path that he's taken in professional wrestling. As a fan, I wished that he had never retired. I wished he had always stayed wrestling, and I wish he was wrestling right now, because he's a super talented guy. And like a lot of stars, there's only one CM Punk. There's only one guy who brings that level of heat in that way, and he's that guy. He knows it. The fans know it. And certainly as a wrestling promoter, I know it. And as a fan, I know it. And I was there the night he won the title in Chicago with the famous banner, you know, if Punk loses, we riot. And Punk was nice enough that night to give me a front row ticket up there in the front row with his friends and family. Great night. Great night. Historic and memorable night. I'm talking about WWE, of course. So to your question, many, many people behind the scenes have asked me, should we make a play for Punk? Have you reached out to Punk? And the answer is, in terms of reaching out, no. Because I respect him a lot. He deserves top money. He's a top star. So that sounds almost self-defeating, like you're almost admitting that you wouldn't want him. No, no, trust me. The NWA would go hand over fist to have Bill walk through the door and be part of the NWA, even for a pay-per-view. But let me say this. What I would say to Phil, and I'm not trying to use this as an open forum, I'm saying to you what I would say to Phil if he and I were talking. And again, sure, I have not reached out, and I certainly know how to get in touch with him. What I could say to him is he would have a lot of fun in the NWA. And I think Phil, the person, loves professional wrestling. He's had his public confrontation, or whatever. I don't know what the word would be. He's had his own, I don't even know how to quantify it. Because, because I'm very similar, you know what I mean?
No, I understand.
I got sued by a record company once for $150 million.
Yeah.
I eventually made a deal with them and continued working for them. I've had massive battles behind the scenes with every segment of the record and touring business, yeah. Some of which are not public. Let's just say I have a reputation in rock and roll behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So if Phil, the person, has a rep with whoever, well, he doesn't have that rep with me because I feel I do understand where he's coming from. The Pipe Bomb promo, which is one of the great all-time promos in the history of the business, could only have come from one man. And the reason it resonated is it came from his heart. That man loves professional wrestling. He may not love the professional wrestling business, but he loves professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. So my only appeal to Punk would be, if you want to have some fun, I can't pay you what you're worth, but if you want to have some fun, come have some fun in the NWA. We'll kick some ass. We'll have some laughs. And, I'll buy you a vegan sandwich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a point where, and I'm going to say this in a self-serving way. Everybody knows, whether they like it or not, I'm a rock star. I've been a rock star for over 30 years. There are moments in my life as a rock star where I played Madison Square Garden, you know, sold it out. I mean, I've done it. There's no argument on that stuff. But there are times when you've been there and done that, like Phil has, where you need to kind of go back to ground and say, how did I get here? Where this thing that I love doesn't feel like the thing I love. Or it's gotten so twisted and turned around, and somehow I'm the bad guy on something I don't feel I'm the bad guy on. And I'm not trying to get in the middle of what happened. You know, I wasn't there. But I do understand the man's heart, I feel. And again, I'm not his friend because I wouldn't claim to be his friend because that's just not cool to do. But I would like to see him, whether it's with the NWA or any other promotion, that he recaptures, to quote the Shawn Michaels, recaptures his smile, right?
Yeah.
He deserves that. The business should rally around guys like Punk because the business benefits from the stars. When Shawn Michaels came back to WWE, and of course now he works behind the scenes, think of all the good things that happened after that. Punk belongs in this business. He's a star. He needs to be treated like a star. I don't think anybody deserves to be treated like a prima donna, including myself. But there's got to be a way to balance those forces where the guy who loves professional wrestling can do what he loves to do, even if it's behind the scenes. Maybe he doesn't even work in front of the camera for a while. I learned a lot about professional wrestling by working behind the scenes in TNA. It rekindled my love of professional wrestling in a way that was closer to why I loved it as a kid than, say, just booking or something or running a promotion. I hope that kind of answers your question, because it's an important question that goes way beyond my interest.
Yeah, it's a big answer to a big question also, you know, and you were there.
You could ask it.
It was July 2014, I believe, was that Money in the Bank that you were referring to, right? You being front
Chicago,
row.
Yeah, when he won the title and went out the door, and I think he didn't even have a contract. There was that whole thing of like, has he just walked with the title? What is happening?
Right. It was like that Summer of Punk moment. Now, you were there. I love that arena reaction. It's my favorite pro wrestling arena reaction, like legitimately. How loud was that building? Like, if you're front row, right? In your opinion, was that one of the loudest things you've ever heard? Like that reaction for him?
10 out of 10.
Wow. That's cool to hear.
You know, I've been lucky enough. I saw Metallica the week Ride the Lightning came out. Mm-hmm. I've been at a few of those types of things in my life. That was up there with the greatest kind of pops you'll ever hear in your life. Because as much as wrestling is, you know, kayfabe this and who's working that and all that, when wrestling reaches that combination of organic versus the work, like it's perfectly balanced. And in that moment, it was perfectly balanced. There's nothing better. It's magical. And that's the thing that people don't understand. Wrestling don't understand that that's what we want as fans. We want those moments where things kind of just click. And you can work it all you want, but it takes the organic reaction of the audience who's invested in what's happening.
Yeah, I think that comparing it to the week Ride the Lightning came out and seeing Metallica and hearing the pop like that, it totally resonates. You know, what's fascinating to me is, you know, you are a personality. You have, you know, I can listen to your interviews all the time. I love the insight of from the rock business. I like the insight of the professional wrestling business, you know, because you kind of go against the norm in this sense. You know, like you said, people were questioning why you would want the NWA. I understand why you would want the NWA. There's prestige there, the heritage of that name, you know, it resonates with people. Now that we are entering a whole different part for you with this company, you know, possible new deal that I'm looking forward to, maybe bigger shows. If there's one takeaway for this show that's coming up on the 28th, also, by the way, NWATix.com, head on over there. You could, there's a meet and greet opportunity with you, obviously, that day, which is obviously a draw for a lot of people. There's a meet and greet opportunity. There's tickets available to order the show and to attend the show. One big takeaway, you know, just before we wrap it up here, what can people get out of this show, you know, that tuned in that have never watched the NWA? You know, I'm a wrestling fan, but I've never watched an NWA product. What can you tell me that, you know, to draw me in?
For somebody who watches a lot of wrestling, this is what I would say. There are those moments in time where you don't want to kick yourself later that you had an opportunity to see something or witness something that later became something more important, and you could have been on the ground floor moment. Now, maybe that's just my personality, like going back to Metallica. I saw Metallica play at the Aragon Ballroom in front of 4,000 people the week that album came out. That was a moment in time that can never be recreated, no matter how many stadiums Metallica plays. You understand? Like, there's a flash there that always sits in my brain. And I said the same thing to Lars on his podcast once. It's like, I carry those moments like it's a certain type of treasure. I wished I'd been in the ECW arena the first time they really started figuring it out. And I think the NWA is starting to really figure it out. So if you're a fan of wrestling, you kind of want to be there at the sort of those ground floor moments because you want to ride that escalator up with the promotion. You know, the greatest promotions in the history of the business, you know, Mid-South, World Class, Georgia, you know, the Crockett stuff. What do people do? They go back and watch those tapes and be like, oh man, I wished I'd been there for this. But oftentimes it's not the peak moment. It's the before the peak moments. Yeah. Heck, I go back and watch, you know, I watched it the other day. It was the 40th anniversary of Morocco versus Snuka, the cage match
at the Garden.
I remember watching that match on TV in my basement 40 years ago when it first came out. I think WWF back then must have shown some package and they showed highlights or something. I mean, that match is forever in my mind. So no matter how great WWE has become or ascends to from this point on with the new merger, I still hold Snuka and Morocco in a cage as something that's like, that's what I treasure as a fan. I'm just saying this, like, sometimes you want to be there on the early side of the equation rather than be late. I get where popular opinion is and people say you got to like this and don't like this. And I think sophisticated wrestling fans really, they love wrestling and they want to sort of find those organic moments. And it doesn't always come from the top down. Sometimes it comes from the bottom up. And Punk, for example, going back to me meeting Punk when he was 19 years old, you know, TNA could have signed them and they didn't. He took that circuitous path through Ring of Honor and all that stuff. And then, so that moment when he won that title in Chicago wasn't just him winning the WWE title. It was a validation of everything that Punk had come from. It was a validation of that journey. It was a validation of Ring of Honor's, you know, the Code of Honor and all that stuff, that work style, which was obviously heavily influenced as Punk style was by Japan. Mm-hmm. It was a validation almost to the McMahons, like, hey, this other stuff of wrestling is just as important. It's like when Vince brought over all those cruiserweights from WCW and finally started allowing, you know, Rey Mysterio to be the star that he is, right? It validates the fans' opinion.
Yeah.
And for a lot of fans who just like professional wrestling kind of straight up the middle, pure and simple, I think the NWA's recent success is a validation that that old school style, modernized, still has a place at the table. It's not something of grandpa's past. It does exist, and it is important, because you got to remember, every time I'm at an NWA event, who's in my ear? Ricky Morton, Bobby Fulton, Austin Idol, Dr. Tom Pritchard. They're just hammering me, saying, you got to do it this way. You got to do it this way, because this is what draws money. Don't listen to this other horse shit.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, listen, those are great minds, right? And those are the people that understand the business. I had the great privilege of having Dr. Tom in my house. We were recording for something. I forgot what it was. He was in New York. I think it was for WrestleMania. And I spoke to him for like 2 hours afterwards. And it was the most enlightening, you know, view of pro wrestling that I ever had, because, you know, the fan perspective is very different than someone that has done everything, you know, has trained, has produced, has wrestled. You know, it's a very different perspective. Before we wrap it up, I have a question for you for me.
Sure.
Any plans to run New York?
Actually, we've been talking about it for 2024. We think we finally have a pathway to do it. We're also hoping to run Philadelphia next year at the, you know, I know it's not called that anymore, but the ECW Arena. We really do want to come up in the Northeast. In fact, I think I recently signed some petition because, you know, New York has those crazy, particularly Manhattan, or you have to have a promoter's license and you can't run and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
we're trying to because we know we have a lot of fans up there based on who watches our show. You know, we do get those demographics, and certainly in all of America, the Northeast of America is the most important place for wrestling week to week. There's no doubt about that. So, we've had to kind of try to rebuild ourselves down here in the South mostly, but we definitely want to come up there because, you know, what's the old Frank Sinatra saying? You know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. We want to make it up in the Northeast because we really understand that that's where a lot of the pure wrestling fans reside. And we're not afraid to take what we're doing right to the heart of that crowd. I mean, it's all good. I mean, there was no more brutal crowd than the Philly crowd. I mean, and I've dealt with it as a musician. The Philly crowd can be the greatest crowd, or it could be the darkest crowd you have ever faced. But if you can make it in Philly, you've done something. And we feel very comfortable that we could march into that building and hold our own. Because I saw those ECW shows back in the day. You know, I must have gone to, 30, 40 shows? You know, I was in that locker room. I was around a lot of those talents. I'm not saying we're going to do what New Jack did, but, you know... we're in the neighborhood, you know, as far as toughness goes. So I feel very comfortable with that.
Yeah, the Elks Lodge was my spot for ECW.
Oh yeah,
I lost count. I don't even know how many shows I went to. Essentially every time that they ran that building, and it was, you know, again, very organic, right? It feels like you're there right before something big is about to happen. And you know, unfortunately for ECW's case, they got tremendously large and tremendously as far as, you know, number three in professional wrestling, but and then it just went away, you know. Then the one thing led to another, it was gone.
I think it's, you were in on a little secret. That's what kind of made it a little magical.
Yeah It was very interesting, Billy. You know, I know we're out of time here. I really love having you on. I would love to do it again after the show, or when you're, you know, when this announcement happens and when this deal is publicly being discussed, I would love to have you back on and to talk about, you know, the future plans and the synergy between you and this new content partner, because it's you know, tremendous to have even just be on TV. I think, you know, and a lot of people that listen to the show understand how difficult it is to get placement on television. It's not this, you know, you could have a tremendous product, but if the wrong person is in front of you and doesn't see your vision, then it's not happening. But congratulations on this. I think this is a huge, huge opportunity for the NWA and for professional wrestling to have, you know, the NWA back on television in a big position, you know, not on, you know, channel 5092 where nobody could find it. I think this is tremendous, and it says a lot, right? It says something about your product. It says something about what you've done, the hard work that you've put in, and all the talent there. So congratulations. I mean, this is tremendous, and I'd love to talk more once we can.
Thank you. I would love to come back when everything's announced and we're sort of awesome. Launching into that new world. I would love to come back and work through, you know, what we're going to do, what we hope to do, and let you ask those tough questions, because I think that's what we're going to need. We're going to need an informed public. And it might be, you know, forums like yours where they can actually hear from me and not have somebody just lifting a quote or two, you know what I mean? I was laughing yesterday because I wrote a text to Tyrus, and I said, "My God, they miss you. They can't stop talking about you. You're retired. You're not even on the pay-per-view, and they just keep talking about you. It's quite amazing."
It's amazing how that works. Billy, thanks again for coming on. This was a blast, and we're going to do it again very, very soon.